Okay. Okay, everybody. So, once again, I just want to mention that this is a shiur which is part of our business halacha initiative to bring more awareness to people in areas of halacha that relate to business. And our partner in the business in the initiative is the law firms of Stock, Kahn, and Braverman. They are very seriously invested in this initiative, and we thank them for their participation. So we've gone through a lot of different topics, and we actually looked through the archives, and we really touched on a lot of different areas. And what I want to do today, or the next couple weeks, is we want to talk about halacha regarding sales. Okay, now we have to do a lot of application because the markets of the old days don't necessarily reflect the reality of the markets today. Okay, so when in the old days, I mean, you know, you were going out on a limb if you gave someone a couple of zuzim for milk that's going to be brought tomorrow. You know, the milk's not here, so that was like, you know, the whole stock exchange was how much milk is the animal going to produce tomorrow, you know? But today, obviously, things are a lot different, and the way you make money and your expenses and advertising and all sorts of expenses. What goes into the price of an item is very much, much, much more broad. So what I want to do is, there's two chalakim to this sugya, okay? The first chalak is the chalak of Aina. Aina is a pasuk in the Torah, lo yisoynu ishes amisoy. Now, loitoinu ishes amisai is not very clear the translation of the word. What does aina'a mean? But Chazal understand it to mean that you're taking advantage of someone regarding the price. You're overpricing, you're underpricing, whatever the case may be. But it has to do with the price. So the first chelik of the sugya is when what you're dealing with is the price. That means it could go both ways. Either the seller took advantage of the buyer and overcharged, or the buyer took advantage of the seller, where the seller doesn't really know the true value of his item, and he got it for less than the value. So it goes either way. And it's purely about the value of the item. There's a whole nother section, which is much more negiah to halacha lemaisa, which is when there's no argument about the price and the deal is 100% fair. The problem was you didn't end up getting what you thought you were getting. So the deal on paper is perfectly fine. This car is worth that much money. The problem is that the guy didn't sell you the car that you thought he was selling you. You found the mum in the mekach, or you didn't get enough quality, or you said, where you made a deal for a building that has 100 units, and each unit is 1,000 square feet, and it turns out that each unit is really 990 square feet. So now you're off on the actual item. So that's another whole section. We're not getting to that for the first few weeks. Okay, the first few weeks, we're going to focus on the halachas of the price, when the problem is on the price. Okay, now, when the Gemara in Bava Metzia, in two places in Bava Metzia, one's in the first daf of the fifth parak, and one is in the middle of the ninth parak, the Gemara says a fascinating thing, which is going to be very surprising to most people. If I would ask most people, what is the lav of loy sigzol? When it says in the Torah, loy sigzol, don't steal, what is that talking about? So I think most people would think it means don't steal. Don't take money out of someone's pocket. Don't steal. Chazal say, no, the pasuk of loy sigzol is not going on that. The pasuk of loy sigzol is actually going on not paying an employee for work that he did for you. That's the pasuk of loy sigzol. Okay, loy sigzol is when you don't pay an employee for work that they did. That's loy sigzol. So it says the Gemara, so how do you know about stealing? Where does the law of stealing come from? So the Gemara says you don't need a pasuk in the Chumash to tell you you're not allowed to steal, because we know that from the fact that you're not allowed to do ona and ribis. From the combination of ona and ribis, from the Tzara Shaveh of Aina and Ribis, we already know they're not allowed to steal. What's Ribis? Ribis is you give someone 100, you took back 120. So, you know, the Torah even ossered that, which he's willingly giving it to you. And the Torah ossered Aina, which means that you paid 120 for an item that's worth 100. So you also took $20 not from him. And that's midaitai. And even though he doesn't know, he's not moichel, but it's still also derech by kachumemker. So if oinah and ribis are usher, you're not allowed to get, you gave 100, take back 120. For sure, you're not allowed to steal the 120. So the Gemara says, Lamaisa, that oinah and ribis tells us the law of gezel. So what you see from here is that oinah is a form of gezel. Means even though it's derech mekachumemker, the Gemara says it's derech mekachumemker. Really, I'm buying, I'm selling. Look, business is business. Business is business, but if you don't do business the way the Torah says to do business, then you're erek zeil. That's the basic what the Gemara says.
The Gemara can just stay with Pula Sakhir. You can't
withhold
his wages because you owe
it
to him.
Okay, no, but he didn't take it out of his pocket. You're just holding money. You're just holding it.
I owe him money.
Okay, so I'm saying so, but that Gemara says that you wouldn't. That is where you need a lava l'sigzel for.
You wouldn't have known that.
You would, right? Even though, right. That's a new thing. That's lovely sigil. Now like this. Okay. Are you the Gemara is gonna tell us that in Ona, well let's start with one thing. Are you over Ona if you did it b'shogeg? You did it unknowingly. You didn't know that, let's take the case of the lokeach. Very simple. I go to a store, I buy something, he's selling it, and then I come home and I realize I got a great deal or whatever, or the other way around. You know, he didn't know he was over. He doesn't really know the true price. He didn't realize that all of a sudden the market went down and he's still selling it at his old price. So are you over? So it's a big machlekes in the Rishonim if you're over the law of the Shoyeg. Because it could be that the whole fundamental principle of this Isser is that you're taking advantage. You're coming in. It's the trickery of it. If you didn't do it through trickery, it could be it's not awesome. I'm just trying to be magdir the lav a little bit to understand the parameters of the lav. It could be that b'shoigig is not awesome. Rav Moshe Feinstein says like that. You know, there's a Bach that says maybe differently, but okay. So like for example, let's say somebody goes to a store. He bought some, and it was right before COVID or whatever, and he bought himself some packages of hand sanitizer. And then he comes home and he realizes anybody who has hand sanitizer can sell it now for triple the price. So technically, the buyer did oinah on the seller because the seller could have sold it for more expensive, right? But the seller didn't know and the buyer didn't know. So there's a shoygig over here. So is there, was that oinah? Okay, so... This could happen, and no one knew. And the shayla was, you're over the lav. And what's the nafkamina if you're over the lav or not? There's no malchus anyway. The nafkamina is how careful you have to be to verify the pricing before you actually do it. So the halacha is you don't have to worry about this because you can assume that the seller is very well aware of the price and the value of his items before he sells it. So the buyer doesn't have to worry, and the seller can assume that. You know, he's doing his research and it's not a problem. I'm just trying to explain why it's like gezel. Okay. Now, there's a fundamental yesoid in Onah. And there's the most complicated problem with Onah, and this is why it's not so common nowadays. It's super common nowadays. But the biggest challenge in our economic system with Onah is that before you can establish what's the halacha of overcharging, you have to understand and establish what's the price to begin with. What's the price of an item to begin with? So you have an expensive store and a cheap store. So now you're going to tell me the expensive store is Onah? Well, I mean, why? They have different types. You buy in the mall, you buy in a mom and pop place, you buy here. Every what establishes the price. How do we establish a true price outside the market? And the market usually establishes the true price for itself. The price is established by the supply and demand, what people are willing to pay for it. So if you go to a store and that's what they're charging and people are buying it, so even though there's another store that sells it for cheaper, does that mean that the other store, the expensive store, is selling it for oinah? So, or do you say, no, that's not called oinah. The more expensive store is providing you a different buying experience. They're providing you maybe better service. They're providing you a nicer place. They're providing you better hours. You go to a convenience store that's open 24 hours, it's going to be more expensive. Why? Because they're open 24 hours. So that has to come from somewhere, right? So the problem with Aina nowadays in a regular buying and selling in a store scenario is hard to establish, because it's hard to establish the prices to begin with. Okay, you go down Rehov Mea Shearim and you have some, you know, that the glass Hadlakas Neiris thing that every single store, there's 35 stores in a row are selling it, and there could be one store that's selling it for 10 shekel, another one that's selling it for 65 shekel, right? But and it's the exact same piece of glass with, you know, Hadlakas Neiris Shabbos. So does that mean that the more expensive stores are not? Or not? I mean, would you say, look, there's a market here, for whatever reason people are buying it, and that's it? So this is a very, very big machlokes in the Haitik of Poiskim. There is a tshuva in the Minchas Asher over here, Rav Asher Weiss, din oina bizman hazeh, that he says, nir la'alocha de'ein lodun bizman hazeh din oina. Basically, in a regular economic system that we have, not really shayach oina. So actually, I was talking to my father about this. So every time I bring this up, oh no, he's like, that's the price. The price is what people are willing to pay for it. Can there be or not? I understood the whole thing. So that's really what Rav Asher Weiss is saying. But most poskim say not like that. And most poskim will say, first of all, there's cases of oh no when you're clearly taking advantage. When you're clearly taking advantage. And there's also cases of oh no when you could have somebody which is completely out of the range, okay? So the basic assumption of the poskim, like the Pesach Choshen and others, I spoke to the Beis Din Meisharim today, also one of the others, he said this is the way they go, is that more or less is that in each sug of a store, so you could have, there's convenience stores, there's retail stores, there's certain types of stores. Each type of store is kaveya its market, and in that market, there's a range. So now in this range, one store sells this dress for $100, one store sells it for $130, one store sells it for $150. Okay? Now there's this, you know, okay, so that's essentially the range. So you have $100, $130, and $150. So now that you've established pretty much what the range of pricing is, somebody that sells it, it could be, you could be subject to ona if you're with, if you could still be subject to ona, but there's still a machlekes in the poskim. How do you establish the ona? Do you say you go by the average, or you go by the median, what's it called, the middle? And would you say, well, the average price is 125? Or would you say, no, there's three stores, we'll go with the middle one, it's 130. Or a third choice is that as long as you're within the range, there's no ana. Ana only starts if you're after 150 or below 100. So you have a right to go within the range, and all the shiurim we'll talk about, because ana is a certain percentage of the price, 16%. So where does the percentage start from? So the price is determined as the range. So he said, this is a machlokes in the Haitik of Poiskim. I saw the Pesachei Choshen, and they both want to say you go by the middle price. You don't give it the range. You go by the middle price, and then you start calculating or not from the middle price.
So the guy on the top price is automatically no.
If he's out of the range of the middle. If there's someone below him, and then, there's someone below, and then there's a middle, and then he's all the way here, he's got to be within 16% of that guy.
And you're also assuming that all the stores are
people. That's what we're saying. I just said that. I said there's a certain sug of stores. So if once you're classified as a type of a store, there's retail, there's, you know, high end, I don't know, there's certain types of stores, and then there's a convenience store which is clearly different, right? But within one range of a store, a type of a sug of, not everybody could say, well, look, you have the honor of buying it from me, so you know, yeah. It can't be that way. Okay, so right, I'm saying, but it has to be that there's a certain sug of a store. That's why I was trying to say.
It has to have their other qualifications. It has to apply
Right. So this store has more parking than that store that's, you know, in the middle of a street that you have to circle around 10 times before you can find parking. So okay, so you're right. That goes into that.
Which means it's almost never,
try to
say that there's
enough. Okay,
but you go to the airport, it's
$8.
Right.
There's
that
you can't compare airport to that.
Right.
Whatever pays there for the last 20 tickets on the plane, it's on the last seats, right?
What?
I mean, you buy a ticket on a plane. It's the same ticket. Basically, you buy the last 10
no
seats.
No two people are paying the same price for their
you sit next to them. It's a matter of time. And you might be paying double of people.
Or half. Right.
Or half, yeah.
So you want to know how do you establish a non something which doesn't have a real shahr? So airplane tickets. So that's an interesting thing. So here he said, "Dabar she'ein lo shahr yadua." There is no clear pricing. That's a good example of something changes price daily, hourly, based on minute. Depends on the zip code of where the person's asking the question from. And the whole market is not given over to the tzibur, really. They hold it to themselves, and whatever, there's nothing to compare it to. Yeah, there's nothing to compare it to. So this is a good shaila. I just heard a question this morning. Someone has their own personal item that nobody else sells. I invented something, or I create something myself. There's no enough because there's nothing to compare it to. Okay. One interesting case of onah is what happens if I think that where you could have onah, perhaps in the most basic way, is certain items, milk, cheese, eggs, things like that, which are government gas, the government regulated, basically. Things which are regulated by the government, and then if someone has their own, you know, Mahalach, how they're doing it. So there you could have onah. So there was a very interesting case I don't know if I want to give so much detail, but there was a case where somebody, it was a couple years ago, and the stores in Orlando for Pesach were not prepared for the amount of people that were going to be there. So they ran out of milk, Chalav Yisrael, before Pesach. And even people that don't drink Chalav Yisrael all year, Pesach, everyone wants Chalav Yisrael. Right? So what somebody did was he went to every single store in Miami, bought all the milk, okay, paying whatever for a half a gallon, $2 for a half gallon, and went up to Orlando. And first of all, there's no milk left in Miami. That's beside the point. And it's not for our sugya right now. And then he went to Orlando and he sold them for $6, $7 a bottle. What? Yeah. So the points can talk about if you're the only seller, of that item in this place, is there onah or not? They have nothing to compare it to. So the way Rabbi Loi in Pesach Choshen says over the Shaila, the way he explains the Shaila is that he says there is a like you were telling me, there's a market, and there's an industry standard of how much does each type of industry make off of the retail versus the wholesale, right? So in clothing, it's maybe a lot, in food. So whatever, there's a certain industry standard in food, you're making X amount over what you paid, basically, right? No one's gonna, you know, right? So are you allowed to go? Because you have no competition. Now, so the industry standard is you pay 20%, you charge 20% more than wholesale, right? Now you're going to another place and charging 100% more than what you bought it for. Are you allowed to do that? Or do you have to at least stick to within industry standard of what's proper to sell this item for? And that would establish the price, right? Or do you say, well, there's no price here because there's no Chalav Yisrael. So therefore, I'm establishing the price, $6 a half gallon. That's the price. No, I know.
There is Chalav Yisrael, it's just they ran out of it.
Okay, so Arab Pesach, for 30, when there's 50,000 people, you know, wanting to have their serve before they go to Disney World. So
somebody that, you know, you're $1.20, I could get it for a dollar across the street. He goes, yeah, but they're out of it, but I'm out of it, but I also sell it for a dollar.
Well, so some say, so first,
say there's price for it. You're so good. You can
I don't know if this is called price gouging. I mean, Lamaisa, there's milk in the stores. Go get it. It's not like there's a hurricane over here.
Right.
Go get milk. I mean, or don't drink milk.
I understand. But same thing. The people could have driven to another community. They don't want to shop to it. It's not like there's wrong to do something. They don't want to shop. They want the convenience.
Convenience. I don't think that's considered going to Miami is considered an option for to get milk. I'm not sure that's considered an option. So I'll tell you how he paskins the shayla. Okay. There's a big shayla. We're gonna learn next week in detail. Okay. How much is onah? Onah is so Chazal say the amount of onah is one shtos, 1/6 of the price. 16, which is, I think, about 16.6%. That's onah. Okay? More than that is a different halacha. Onah means the person that got ripped off by that amount is allowed to claim back the money. Or if it's the buyer that he got ripped off, he can claim from the seller the money. And if it's the seller, he can demand that the buyer give him the money. What's the halacha of less than onah? Less than a sixth. What's the halacha of less than a sixth? Okay, the price is generally $100, and I charge $105. So there's no claim. The buyer can't come back to the seller and say, hey, give me back the $5. There's no claim on it or not. But the Rosh wants to know, is it usser or is it mutter? Is it usser? Are you allowed to overcharge by less than a sixth? So he has two tzadim. One side is, look, Chazal came up with a sixth because there's got to be a way that there's Darach HaMekach HaMemkar. You can't have every seller exactly the same. There's Darach HaMekach HaMemkar. So obviously, yeah, I'm allowed to overcharge up to a sixth. And then the Rush says the other side is, no, it's usher. If you know it's more than the price, it's usher to sell it. And even though if he buys it, you're allowed to keep the money, but Lemaisa, you were over an isher, as long as more than a pruta. That's what the Rush says. And the Shulchan Aruch says to be choshish for the chumer of the Rush, then it's usher. So he says, you see from here that overcharging, even when there's no tvi of aina, is usur anyway. So he wants to taina that the fact that there's nobody to compare the price to, if you know that that's not the price and you're just taking advantage, that will be ona. That's how the Pesach Choshen wants to pass in that type of shayla. So I read the shayla, like, wow, that's mamash that case. All right. So that would be considered ona. And because it's milk, so it has a very clear, there's clear pricing to it.
Is there only on the seller or is the buyer saying, yeah?
Oh, so he brings here from Shlomo Zalman a shayla. He's asking, let's say the buyer says, you know what, this guy's over right now. He's over right now, but I want milk. I'm saying,
I'm anyway spending 80,000
pounds. Exactly. Lemaisa, what's my choice? So he says, are you over the say either? If you buy milk from this guy, because he's being over right now. So the Chassam Sofer says that if it's an interesting lesson of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, since it's a shaylef, there's a no less than a shtos, you should be machmer both ways. So the other one, what's Chassam Sofer saying? Machmer both ways? The chumra is that he shouldn't do it. What's the chumra on the other guy? So the chumra on the other guy is that you should assume that maybe it's a problem and you should be moichalim. So therefore, when you're buying it, you shouldn't be upset and say, I can't believe this guy's doing $6. It's really annoying, but I have no claim and he's going to do it. No, if you're going to, since it's less than a sixth, you should buy it, but you should be moichalim. Otherwise, maybe it's lifnei yivam. And Jerry,
the rate of inflation, how much is that?
No, inflation, that's just some of the new price. I mean, it can't be that one guy decides to do it on his own. It has to be that that's what's going on in general. But if it's going on in general, then that's the sum of the price.
On the milk story, here's a guy who took the initiative. He took his time, gas, and the risk that the milk would go sour, and the risk that maybe people...
So he could get paid. And he can, at the end of the day, make as much money as the store would make if they were selling it there. he has a right to make that amount of money, including his tircha and all that, but not to take advantage more. It's understood. Whatever the delivery cost is, whatever that goes, that would go into the price. He's right. If they're selling it down here for $2, they don't have to sell it there for $2. Right? He could go into the price. He could factor in all those things. But at the end, his profit margin should be what the standard industry profit is to make off milk.
So he could deduct, he could add in his time.
Right.
At a normal
whatever rate. Rate would be to get paid for that. So he'll make money on the as a delivery guy. He'll make money for all the time that he spent on buying the other milk, and he could charge whatever you know.
That might be $6-7
by the time he's done, you know. But yeah, he could factor that in. But
and then the next day, a guy comes with a big massive trailer, and all the stores get stuck. The guy bought it. Can't go back to him and say. Because that day he wanted it. He can't go back from the next...
No, the sale is final. In this case, because there's no market, the sale is final. Yes, the sale is final, and he has no claim. Our question is it multi or awesome? Okay? Now there's two other points as an introduction. One point is, what if both parties know? Let's not take the milk case. The Gemara gives an exception to Ona. One of the exceptions to Ona is a balabayas who's selling his own stuff. So I have a dining room table for sale. Brand new, beautiful, great dining room table. And I'm going to sell it. But I'm only selling it because it's worth it for me to sell it. I don't need to sell it. I like it. I know that there's people want this type of item and I don't really need it so I can make some money. So I'm willing to sell it. But you would go buy this in a store and let's say there's a market for it. It would be $1,000. I'm selling it for $1,500, whatever. Right? So a balabais that's selling his own stuff, the Gemara says there's no ona. And there's two reasons given. The Rambam seems to say that the pshat why there's no enough for Baal Bayis is like we're saying. Because really the item is not for sale. It's only for sale if you're giving me the right price. So someone comes along and says, hey, well, would you sell me, you know, that, would you, are you willing to sell me that thing, you know, that item? Happens with property sometimes, whatever. But are you willing to sell me that? I wasn't really planning on selling, but if you give me the right price and it's worth it, there's no enough on there. Okay, because I'm only willing to sell it for the right price. Now, what happens if someone is selling? What happens if the buyer does not know? You know what's the pshat of it? The pshat is because the buyer knows. The buyer is selling it for what he wants, and the seller knows that the seller is selling it for what he wants, and the buyer is aware of the fact that the seller is a Baal Bayis. He's not in the business of buying and selling. And he's probably just putting on whatever price tag he felt like, right? So the Ketzos says that the heter Baal Bayis is when both people know, they both know the facts. But then he says like this, it has to be that they both know that each other knows. So the buyer has to know, the seller has to know that the buyer knows that he's a Baal Bayis. And the buyer has to know that the seller knows that the buyer knows. Why? Because the idea is, if we both know that we know, so basically what's going on here is, hey, I'm selling a price, there's ona over here. I know that the real price is this, I'm selling it for more. You want it or not? And the buyer knows that the seller is saying this, and the seller knows that the buyer is selling, and the seller knows, the buyer knows that he's saying it. So the seller's not tricking. Remember we said originally that Peshuggi is not a problem. Why? Because the Isra Vano is the trickery. Is the Ramos. There's no Ramos. Everything's on the table. Everyone's saying there's Ona here. So the seller said there's Ona without saying it. The seller's saying there's Ona. The buyer knows that there's Ona. And the seller knows that the buyer knows. So the seller's not tricking the buyer.
It's limited to Baal Bayis.
No, but this is where he says the Yisoid. So I'm just using it where he says it. Now that's the Yisoid going to be all over.
Why did he be aside? Should be like selling an item that doesn't exist anywhere else. This is the architect to be compared. There's no Sharia do it for this.
Yeah, okay.
I'm privately selling my own dining room table. I can't compare it to a furniture store. So there should be no issue to begin with.
It's not like an antique, you know. Antiques are something that there's no one know pashtus, because there's no real market for it. You know, it's like it's totally just whatever is out there. Whatever, it's hard to evaluate what the true value is for these types of things. You know, so most people say there's no real ona on antiques. The good shaila is if there's ona on an auction, the seller put it out there, and people are just bidding each other. It's not his fault. The fact that this guy is willing to pay $150,000 for the Ribnitzer sitter is not my problem. I mean, I put it out there. Starting bid with $1,000, and you know,
you're not buying the sitter; you're buying the Ribnitzer sitter.
That's what I'm saying. So there's no real, you know. So there's no real. There's no real. Oh no, for that. You know, so because there's no real market. There's one of them. Saying there's one of them in the world. You know, hopefully. So the what?
He sells it for enough.
There was an interesting thing that someone came in to Rav Steinman and said, I want your stool. He didn't sit on a he never sat on a chair with the back for 50 years. He sat on a stool. So he said, I want your stool. He says, what do you need my stool for? This is better ones in the store. I don't understand what you want my stool for. So he says, no, I want yours. So he says, here's a couple of dollars. Go get a stool from the carpenter. Well, I don't understand. So he says, no, I could sell it for a lot of money. You want to sell my stool? He says, avoid the Zara. He threw him out of the house. He was not masking the whole thing. Then the guy goes to Chaim Kanievsky and he says, I want to buy your stender. He says, what are you going to do with it? So I'm going to sell it. What are you going to do with the money? I'm going to give all the money to Coil, whatever. Oh, no problem. Just make sure you make a lot of money with it. he didn't mind. He's like, yeah. But the point is that those types of items don't have enough. But what the Ketzos is telling us is that a lot of times, both parties know when you're walking in to this type of aris deal, both parties know that there's only nah, and both parties are aware that it's just on the table. I'm going to be overcharging you. It's push. You're coming into this type of market. I'm expensive. I'm going to overcharge. I know that you know that, and you know that. So according to the Ketzos, it's like being mafarish that there's only nah, there's no problem. So the pshat is like this. If neither party knows, maybe there's no ona. If both parties know, also it could be that there's no ona. And both parties know, it could be even better because it's also there's mechila. The pshat in ona is when one party knows and one of them doesn't. So the pshat is if one is taking an advantage of the other. And that's where the whole sugya starts. Okay? Now, there's
So
you want to know in the case of, but over there, I have no choice. I'm not willing to do it. I just have no choice. In the case of the Baal Bayis selling his table, so why are you buying it from me? Okay, I don't need this item. I could go get the item somewhere else. I'm buying it from you because I trust you, whatever it is. I'm willing to pay for that experience. By the milk, I don't want to pay this money for the milk. If someone else would be selling it for cheaper, I would go there. You're forcing me to do this. I know, but I'm not moichel because I'm not, unless the seller says, look, I'm overcharging you. You have to say amanas. It's a little different in that case. Because you're taking advantage. Now there is one other yisoid which I don't know exactly how to apply it, but there's a gemara that says what happens if it's a case of ledidi shavali. There's a gemara in Kiddushin that says that someone charged a papa I've gone.
I had to go to a meeting once, and I had my new cell phone, and they just switched over from the USB-C-A to C whatever, and I realized I'm going to this really important meeting in New York. My phone's dying. I asked the cab driver. I saw he had a thing. How much will we sell him in the court for? So I paid like $100 for like a $10 card, but it was worth it.
So okay, so I want to so I have to look into this case. Okay, that's a good case. So now, what is Ladidi Shavali meant? That the case was that this Amira needed a hat or whatever it's called. What do we call it? A turban of some sort. He needed that, and he was a kohen, and he was going to do the pidyon ben. So for him, it was worth it to do it. Okay. So Ladidi Shavali means that there's a different. Things are worth different for different people. And so he says, if something is worth something more to someone else than to you, you could charge them what it's worth to them. So this, I would say this example is, for example, let's say you have a shtreimel. So if I'm buying a shtreimel, why am I buying it? If I'm buying it for Purim, so how much am I willing to pay for a Purim costume? It's $100. But the person that wears it, because for real, for him it's worth the $5,000 that he's paying. It's not the pshat you charge again $500 and me $200. There's a no. It's not worth more than that for me, and it is worth more than that for him. Right? But let's say you have a case. Well, that makes sense, right? But let's say you have a case where I have the Gemara talks about a case where I have a necklace that has two diamonds and I have one. I need a matching one, you have the matching one. Is it worth more for me, Be'etzim, or is it just that I'm more desperate? This is the question. So the Poskim say, Ladidi Shavali is only because it's actually worth more for me. Because it is. But if it's only worth it more for me because I'm desperate or because circumstances require me to do it, then it's enough. So your case is not Ladidi Shavali. Your case is I'm desperate, so just I'm willing to overpay. It's not that it's really worth it for me. It's that the situation says, even though it's not worth it, I'm willing to overpay. So that's awesome. The question is, what about a case like I'm describing? Someone told me like this. Someone that comes here in from New York, say he has these 19 volumes out of the 20 of the first Shas printed in Venice. Okay? Each volume costs between $350,000 and $500,000. Each volume. But if you have all 20, the set is worth way more than 20 million. It's worth about $20 million. Each one is worth like $1 million. If you have the whole set, there's came out none of them in the whole world. He's missing one thing. So Lemaisa, for him, if you would find that, for anyone else, they would pay $500,000 for that set, for that safer. For him, he would pay $1 million for it. So does that mean Ladidi Shavali, or is that called taking advantage? That I'm not sure. He has a Shabbos that no one else has in that item. But I don't know if that means that it's really worth that, or is it just you're taking advantage? I'm a supik about that type of case.
He says this is what it's worth to me, so he's
telling you. It's not a part of desperation. It's the part that it's really worth it for me.
He's going to be $15 million. Safer.
Yeah.
You can't be Mishai or Shavius without deciding why the person needs it. I mean, we'll buy a bottle of milk, it's going to be developed. So, in the Shavius is the fact that you need it also. Desperation is part of creating the Shavius.
Not really. I don't think.
If you buy something, it's because you need it.
This person, it's worth it for him because he has a value in it that nobody else has. So it could be that that's why it's a little different in this case. That's the basic fundamentals of Ona.
So the buyer could find that out and overcharge him more than the right.
I don't know. I'm a suffix. I have to look up the concise a little bit better. How far does Ladidi Shavali go? The simple case of Ladidi Shavali is the case of the Shrine, like I was saying. That's partial. But more than that, I'm not sure. And so next week we'll get into the this was more like the Yisoides. And then we'll get into the details of how to evaluate the Ona and then what to do if there is Ona, etc. And eventually we'll get into Mekach Tos when there's no problem. Okay. Yishkoyach.
Have a great day.
Great day.